Shall we pray? Father God, we pray that you would come now. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to each and every person here and send us out by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Natalie Andrews and I'm the team vicar. I started here at the end of September and it's wonderful to have so many churches across the Ely team gathered here this morning. Now I've heard that as a church you really like long sermons, am I right? Well, there may be some wisdom in having long sermons, but don't worry, I'm not going to preach a long sermon this morning. But my hope is that there'll be something from today's service which will affect how we live our lives Monday to Saturday and throughout Advent as we journey to the stable, when God comes and moves in our neighbourhoods in the form of a baby, and as we await his return. The sermon, our worship, the Lord's Supper extends out of those doors into the streets, into our lives, and into the people who we'll meet next week. I once heard of a church that had a sign and it read, "Welcome to the service," and it was on the door as you walked out of the church into the world. So this morning, let us be open to the Holy Spirit and be ready to be sent out and transformed this Advent. God's story is a story of desires, hopes, and dreams. His story begins with his desire for a good and beautiful world, which we are part of. God gives us the capacity to desire, hope, and dream as well. And as we know from the Bible, these desires, hopes, and dreams could either lead to actions which enabled people to move towards God or away from God. And it is the same for us today. Our desires, our hopes, and our dreams that each of us have cause us to act and behave in certain ways. When I was a little girl, I loved to spend time in my garden. We had quite a large garden with a wooded area, and I'd spend hours walking around, climbing and building dens with my brother and my friends. But one of the things that I really liked to do was to sing and daydream as I was singing. I spent hours in the summer, in those summer evenings, walking around the woods, singing, "I'm forever blowing bubbles," and "Doe a deer, a female deer." Now that perhaps dates me, but I'll leave that with you. I felt absolutely wonderful as I was singing, full of wonder and full of hope. But looking back, I think that it really was a bit of escapism, as my parents' marriage was breaking up and it was extremely messy. The desire, hope, and dream that I had was for them to stay together. This desire, hope, and dream led to action. I remember going into the playground and telling my friends that my parents were splitting up. So we plotted and we schemed. A group of 8-year-old girls had a plan, and we went round the school with a petition. We went round interrupting football games and TIG, getting them to sign the petition against Natalie Wright's mum and dad splitting up. Very sad, but I never presented that petition to my parents, as it did all feel rather hopeless. My desires, hopes, and dreams had led to an action, but then my hope had faded. As a result of the messiness of my home life and the eventual divorce, I guess because in the 1980s, divorce was still quite rare. There wasn't much support out there, and I wasn't a Christian, so the church wasn't there as a network either. So I guess I developed my own resilience and my own coping mechanisms, which I have to say weren't always healthy. I'd lost the hope, desire, and dream that I once had, and it was affecting my behaviour in the present. It wasn't until I became a Christian, a month before Richard and I were due to get married, that I found a different kind of hope, desire, and dream in which to base my life around. Jesus Christ, who promised me a new future of healing and forgiveness. Jesus Christ, who promises you a new future, a new start each day of your lives. The hope, desire, and dream of this new future affects how we live our lives today. In our reading from Luke chapter 1, we hear John the Baptist's father, his hopes, his dreams, and his desires for the future. Zechariah's prophecy is full of hopes, desires, and dreams for a new future. He recognizes his son will prepare the way for the Redeemer, the awaited Messiah. Whoops. Despite the absurdity of this promise, Zechariah is prepared to allow this promise of hope to affect how he lives in the present. Wherever we are on our journey of faith, how does what we're promised in the scriptures affect how we live today? I don't know if any of you heard Antoine Leary, a Frenchman whose wife was killed in the Paris attacks, leaving him and his 17-month-year-old son. He said this: "On Friday, you stole the life of an exceptional being, the love of my life, the mother of my son, but you won't have my hatred." And he goes on to say, "Of course, I'm devastated with grief. I admit this small victory, but it will be short-lived. I know she will accompany us every day and that we will find ourselves in this paradise of free souls to which you'll never have access." A hope, desire, and dream of a future which affects Antoine and how he will live today, even in searing grief. During Advent, we celebrate the prophets, those people in God's story who responded to a call by God. And to be honest, those prophets are a bit irritating, really, aren't they? They're the grit who'd be willing to say, "Do you know what, guys? It really doesn't have to be like this. If you follow God's ways, it will be so much better. There is another way of living because we believe in a hope, a desire, and a dream which promises a new future." Isaiah's descriptions of that promised future were so inspiring that Jesus and his early followers quoted Isaiah more than any other writer. In our passage from the second part of Isaiah this morning, we heard some beautiful imagery about God. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. In this portion of the prophet Isaiah's prophecy, his prophetic statement were of events which were to occur long after the time of the prophet, and which would be of interest not only to the Jewish nation, but to the whole human family, to you and to me. Originally written to the Judean exiles who'd been exiled to Babylon, away from their homeland, following the invasion of the Assyrians in 587 BC. Isaiah chapter 40 to 55 inspire hope that even though they're in exile, they have a God who loves them like a shepherd loves his flock of sheep. They will one day return to their homeland and rebuild it. God promises them this in the future, and the prophet is urging them to have desires, hopes, and dreams of this future, which will affect how they act in the present, even in this uncomfortable place of exile. I'm sure that many of the refugees or asylum seekers who find themselves far from their homelands in different cultures can resonate with this place of exile. I wonder how we might be like the prophet Isaiah and encourage refugees with words and actions of hope, a promise of a new future. I wonder how we might encourage those who feel that they're on the margins of society, or those who don't feel welcome in the church. Or how might we proclaim a Black Friday that is non-perishable and leads to life in all its fullness? The desires, hopes, and dreams of the prophets never died, but they weren't completely fulfilled either. The desire, hope, and dream of a new future lived in them and in the lives of people like Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph, Anna and Simeon, and even the humble shepherds who lived on the margins of society. In a moment, we will come to communion. I wonder if you knew that the Catholic word for Holy Communion, the Mass, actually means dismissal, and has come to be known as mission. We come to this table, we receive, and then we're ready for the dismissal, to be sent out in mission, to walk through those doors and the doors of all of the churches represented here, week by week, to enter God's service. The Ely team is alive in the adventure of Jesus because we have a desire, a dream, and a hope of a new future which affects how we behave in the present. In a moment, Katie is going to play quietly for us. And as she does, I invite you to take the postcards that you were given as you came in this morning. On each of those postcards, there's a blank space. And I wonder, during the quiet, if you'd like to just write in that space what action you feel that God is calling you to this Advent. So you might write something like, I have a hope, desire, and a dream to be shaped by the scriptures this Advent. And maybe you'll then commit to reading the scriptures, maybe for 5 or 10 minutes a day. Or maybe you could write something like, I have a hope, desire, and dream that empty shop on the high street becomes a sanctuary for the vulnerable. So I commit to praying imaginatively and hopefully each day of Advent. So just take some time and allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you to write down what action you'll take this Advent. And so that as you go from this church and enter into God's service, and as you journey through Advent, you might have a new commitment and you might be transformed by the hope, desire, and dream and the promise of a new future. Amen.